prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave. That is Pastor Jeff. We are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
And we would love you to come out. We don't really care what you look like, what you wear, how many tattoos you got. We just want you to know and love God along with us.
Amen.
This is our community is about forgiveness, which we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about this thing called Untamed Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to answer Bible contradiction. We got some listener questions. I'm going to try to get to at least one of those today. I think we just have one on our list.
Yeah.
Anyway, Untamed Mercy is what we're talking about today. Just this crazy, wild forgiveness because, I just think people have been hurt by churches and Christians.
Yes, and people have been hurt, period.
By anybody.
Yeah, but an inordinate amount of people have been hurt by the church, and that's not supposed to be.
Yeah, and the reality is churches aren't perfect. No Christians are perfect.
Right.
No one really claims to be perfect. If you do claim to be perfect, you got an issue all your own. No one claims to be perfect, but it does hurt more when a church or a Christian does something to you that feels wrong, because you think to yourself, they should have known better.
Right.
They should have cared more.
Well, you look at the teachings of Jesus, and Jesus is always telling that you must forgive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you must love. You know, if you don't have love, then you can't call yourself a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, but it seems like a lot of churches have just lopped off that part of the Bible and don't want to teach from it.
Yeah, that's right. Today we're going over to this concept of forgiveness and mercy, and this is how we want our church to treat people no matter what they've been through. So like whatever sin you got, because I know every single person listening to this show has done something they're completely ashamed of, probably thought things you haven't ever told anybody.
I think two people doing this show is probably done things that we wouldn't want other people to know.
Definitely, right? Like there's things that I've done that I'm not going to broadcast.
Right.
I mean, you know, a select few people, I hope, hey, keep me accountable. Here's what I struggled with. There's things that I've thought that I would never tell anybody. Why? Because we've all done that. We're all sinners. Mm-hmm. We're all ashamed of the things we've done. But we need to know that churches and Christians, we here as pastors, Jeff and Dave, we exist to promote God's forgiveness in your life.
Amen.
All right, Jude 2. It's a verse we try to get everyone in church to memorize. Mm-hmm. It says this:
mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance.
Mercy, peace, and love be yours
in abundance.
Abundance.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, there's a pastor, and he always started every church service by saying, "The Lord be with you." And the people would respond and say, "And also with you."
Right.
But one Sunday morning, the PA system, it wasn't working right. His microphone wasn't working. So the first thing he said, instead of "the Lord be with you," the first thing he said, he goes, there's something wrong with this microphone. And everybody responded, "And also with you."
That's when you know your church is in a rut.
Right. Some people, I think this is how people treat forgiveness. Like they, okay, a pastor is going to talk about forgiveness. Yes, we should forgive. You know, they have that kind of mantra. But it's like, listen up. Hey, just like listen up for just 1 minute here.
Right.
Let me wake you up.
Preach it.
All right.
All right. Are we comfy?
Okay. Because I want you to get uncomfortable for a minute and think about this. What does it mean that we should be giving people mercy in abundance? Not like the Bible says. Not like just, all right, I should forgive him. But like, how much mercy can I heap onto this person? I want you to listen to this slowly. Dave, will you read it to us nice and slowly, like a Charles, who's the NRA guy? Heston.
Oh, Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston reading it slowly.
Okay.
I don't know why Charlton Heston.
Because he had that.
A good narration voice.
He had that voice.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, there's plenty of other people. James Earl Jones was.
Let's think James Earl Jones.
I'll do my best, all right?
Okay.
Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance.
I feel that was a little bit distracting from our point, wasn't it?
Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance.
When we act as a church, when you come to Revolution Church, listener, right, we really have two choices. Okay, our church, and the way you act in our church,
mm-hmm.
the way you act at your church, whoever you are, you can be a church of commandments or a church of the cross. A church of commandments is a church that is about rules, what to do,
right.
fear of punishment,
mm-hmm.
or you can be a church of the cross. And the cross is where Jesus died on our behalf. The cross is where you and I deserve to go because we'd done wrong. But instead of punishing us, God punished Jesus, and Jesus totally forgave us, willingly accepted the pains that we wouldn't have to. We can be a church like that instead. Right.
And, you know, there are plenty of people I talk to. One of the reasons they don't want to go to church is, I don't want to be judged. Who wants to be judged? And I keep telling them, you know, you come to our church, you're not going to be judged. You're going to see a lot of other people just like you.
Oh, man. You know, I was at a pastor's prayer meeting in Salina just a week or 2 weeks ago. And, you know, I was there with, I'm not going to remember them all, but like I was there with the pastor of First Baptist Church here. I was there with the pastor at Emmanuel Church.
Mm-hmm.
I was there with the pastor of, I think Heartland Worship Center was there. There was a bunch of Crossroads was there. I mean, there was a bunch of us pastors there. We were praying together. And I look at this group of pastors and every single one of them is from a church that promotes forgiveness and love. I don't really know very many churches that promote a church of commandments.
Right, so it's like one bad apple has spoiled the whole bunch.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I think that bad apple is a really loud, stinky apple.
Right.
You know, you get these churches that are like really, really angry, mm-hmm. and they pick at everything, and they yell, and they shout everything, and they put signs everywhere about how you got to follow these laws, and then you got the other 95 churches in town that are like, you know what? Jesus loves you. He wants to forgive mm-hmm. you. Does he want you to change? Yeah, he does. He's not going to leave you like you are. But he, first of all, he forgives you and loves you just like we do.
Right.
And that you just don't hear that as much because we're not outside going, hey, jerk face, right. Jesus loves you.
Yeah, right? You got to clean yourself up before you come into my church.
It's like if you have kids and, you know, I have 6 kids and I pay more attention to the kid who's misbehaving than the 5 kids who are doing what's right.
Right, right.
And it's the same thing. When you look at churches or Christians, you're paying attention to the church or the Christian who's blathering on about the rules more than you're listening to the 95 churches mm-hmm. in the town who are talking about the love of Amen. God. Okay, so we can be a church of commandments, but we choose to be a church of the cross. Mercy, what is mercy, Dave?
Mercy is, I guess, I would say that it's something that is given that is not deserved.
That's right. Mercy is getting something that you don't deserve, right? We deserve punishment. We deserve rejection because of our sin. Because every time we sin, let's just face it, we know what God wants us to do and we don't do it.
Right.
Right? We deserve to be punished. But mercy is when God gives us blessings instead of punishments. Mm-hmm. He not only withholds our punishment, but he also gives us his grace. He also blesses us and gives us love, gives us forgiveness. I want to look at Matthew 18. This is verse 21 to 22.
Okay. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times?
Now hold on just for a second there, right before we go on further. Yeah. All right. I mean, back in their day, you were supposed to forgive somebody 3 times.
Right.
That was it. They thought, okay. You forgive someone 3 times and you've done enough. They sin again, it is over.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
It's on like Donkey Kong, right? So, I mean, think about it. Like, Dave punches me in the face. I'm like, dude, what's up?
Oh, I so wanted to do that.
And then I go home and Dave's on my roof trying to light my house on fire. I'm like, seriously, you gotta stop. And then I go in my backyard and Dave's got my lawnmower and he's like busted it to pieces and smithereens and... That's 3 times. And if each time he's been like, Jeff, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I've got to forgive him.
Actually, I'd put it on the lowest setting and mow my name into your backyard.
That actually is a good idea. I'd like you to see it. I'd like you to do that. It'd get more mowing than it does right now.
All right.
All right. So, but that's 3 times. That's a lot of mm-hmm. forgiveness. So Peter knows that Jesus is really merciful. So he's like, hey, Jesus, should I forgive someone 7 times? Mm-hmm. And Jesus answers this.
He says, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times.
Oh. And Jesus obviously is not trying to say 77, but not 78 times.
Right.
He's saying, you just keep going, dude.
Right.
You see, Peter assumes that there's a limit on mercy.
And he's wrong.
There's not. he assumed this sort of assumption is what leads us to judging others, right? We assume like they have crossed the limit of mercy.
Right. I've had all I can stand and I can't stand no more.
That's right. Is that Popeye?
Popeye. Yeah.
All right. We're going to jump into a Bible contradiction, then we'll come back to this.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today. Shall we steal?
Yeah.
Well, Exodus 20:15 says no.
Oh, okay.
So, however, Luke 19:29-34, Jesus sent two of his disciples saying, "Go ye into this village. Ye shall find a colt tied whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him." Why are you doing this to me, Jeff?
I did. It was the Freedom From Religious Foundation. They used the King James Version. Yeah.
"And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him."
Okay, so what's up?
They basically went and they took this colt without permission because obviously the owner of the colt said, "Hey, where are you going with my colt?"
Yeah. And so the guy who came up with this contradiction says, "I was taught as a child that when you take something without asking for it, that is stealing."
Right.
Okay. This is fairly simple. C for context. We have our cracked acronym, C-R-A-C-K-E-D. We're going to use two of them today. This really requires two of them to solve, although it's not that complicated.
Right.
C for context, right? You read the context and you pay attention to the context. We actually read it here, but I think some people missed it. Jesus wasn't stealing this. It actually says in Luke 19:33-34, "As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. Then the owner let them take it." The owner let them take it. Right? The context was they did ask permission. Now you might be saying, but they were going to take it whether the owner said that or not. Well, there's something here important you have to understand.
What's that?
If you're coming at this from the point of view that Jesus is just a human being, it certainly looks like stealing. But if you're coming at this from the point of view that Jesus knows the future, it's not stealing at all.
Right.
He knew the owners were going to be there, and he knew that that's why he said, go untie a colt, and if the owners show up and ask what you're doing, say this.
It's almost like he knew what was
going to
happen.
It's almost like he knew what was going to happen. Oh my goodness, right? So then we go with K, which is knit together. Mm-hmm. We got to interpret the Bible as a whole, not as an individual piece.
Right.
And we read this in Colossians chapter 1.
"The Son is the image of the invisible God."
And when it says the Son, that's talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm.
"The firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him."
Okay, so Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He created all things. Dave, who created everything?
I think the answer is Jesus Christ.
Very good, Dave. That was
my trip to Haiti.
Right. Jesus created all things, and all things were created. What does it say right there?
For him.
For him.
I didn't even have to
the
look.
Reason that cult exists was for Jesus, right? As a father, I own everything in my house.
Right.
I can go into my kid's room and take one of the toys and say, you know what? I'm putting this toy in timeout. I can take one of those toys and say, I'm going to play with it. Now, is it nice of me if I'd say to one of my kids, hey, can I borrow your toy? It is. But as a father who purchased that toy, who owns that toy, who is in charge of that child, I can do that.
It would be as if I were in your house and you asked me, hey, go up to my kid's room, grab a toy. And if my kid is there and asks, why are you taking the toy? Mm. Because your father has need of it.
Exactly. That is exactly what this is. Now, if you come at this from the point of view that Jesus is just some guy, it's going to look like he's stealing.
Right.
But if you knit together all of Scripture and you understand Jesus is the Son of God, he can take whatever colt he stinking wants to take.
Amen.
So Jesus took this colt because it was his right to take it, but he also respected the human beings who he's in charge of, and he asked for permission anyway. So this is not stealing, and that's the answer for a Bible contradiction.
Awesome.
We're going to come back. We got a listener question about why people go to hell, who goes to hell, what if someone didn't have a chance to apologize for their sin. And we're going to come back and talk about some mercy and why church gives mercy and what you should do about it. Come on out to Revolution Church. Come on out to truthrevolution.tv. We're from Revolution Church. We do this show because we want you to get connected with the church. Maybe it's Revolution Church. We'd love that to be. If not, go find Jesus in a church somewhere.
Amen.
But we'd love you to come out. Hey, truthevolution.tv, we'll be right back.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit HopeHouseKS.org.
That's HopeHouseKS.org.
I love tattoos.
I love science.
We both love God.
Yeah, you can have tattoos, science, and faith in Jesus at the same time.
Revolution Church would love to have you come on out.
Online at revo.church. That's R-E-V-O.church.
Our service times are Sunday at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m.
Try us 3 weeks in a row and...
and your tattooed scientific self may like it. Revo.church is our website. That is...
revo.church.
R-E-V-O.church.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, "This show changed my life. I love Jesus."
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give, give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Hold up. Don't put on a tie. No suit, no khakis.
Just throw on some shorts or jeans and a t-shirt and y'all set.
I'm Dave from Revolution Church, and I want you to know God better. I don't care what you wear.
And I'm Jeff, and when I go to Revolution Church, I usually wear jeans and a t-shirt, and I'm the pastor.
Sundays at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m.
Online at revo.church. Just come as you are, man.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Many people's objections to the Christian faith are heart, not head-related.
Wounds from a church, Christian, minister, or even God himself are very real for many individuals.
Whether the harm was real or not, and I'll go out on a limb and say that many are real.
No kidding.
We must remember that the pain these people feel is a strong reason for them to avoid Christianity.
If we as apologists argue violently with them, we only make their hearts harder.
Remember, the goal of apologetics is to help people see the rationale for the faith and eventually love Jesus. The goal is not to win an argument.
But if people's problems with Christianity aren't intellectual problems, why even do apologetics?
Because the intellectual often covers the emotional.
Many people find intellectual reasons why Christianity is wrong to affirm their emotional objection.
Right, so we must be prepared to remove the head objections so we can work on the heart objections.
Just remember, do this with gentleness and respect.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back talking about mercy today.
Woo! Did you know that nowhere in the Bible God suggests limits on mercy?
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
I would take your word for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some times where it says, hey, you might have to kick someone out of a church.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like if they're doing something blatantly wrong. And you ask them to change, and they're like, I don't want to repent.
Right.
And in that case, they're not willing to accept forgiveness.
Right. And even if that person did come back and they were willing to accept that forgiveness and be able to do
what was right.
Yeah, do what was right.
Then you have to forgive them.
Yeah, you forgive them, and then you bring them back in.
That's right. And even if they did the wrong thing again, you would have to forgive them again
right.
if they needed to be, if they asked
that's
for forgiveness.
That's what 77 times means.
That's right. Like, it's just this, and we call it untamed. Why? Because we want it to be wild. We don't want it to be tamed. Mm-hmm. We want it to be passionate, like a lion stalking its prey.
Yeah. Who wants to lock up mercy, really?
Man, we don't want to lock up mercy. Mm-hmm. James chapter 2, verse 8, it says it this way.
If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing it right.
Look, if we're loving our neighbors as ourselves, it is impossible to put limits on mercy.
Right.
Because I don't want someone to put limits on mercy when it comes to me.
Oh,
I don't want people to go, oh yeah, well, we'll forgive Jeff and everything except that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to say that about you. I'm not going to say to any listener in this audience, hey, I'm willing to forgive you anything except that one thing. That was really bad. Why? Because I don't want you saying to me, I'll forgive you for everything except that one thing. I want you to say,
right.
I want you to say to me, I'll forgive you for everything that I find out about you. Everything.
Right. And you know, the excitement about somebody actually coming to repentance, somebody coming and kneeling at the cross and asking for forgiveness from Jesus,
That's exciting. People should be excited about that.
It is exciting. It is exciting. Peter believed that he was already giving more mercy than was necessary when he asked Jesus he should forgive people seven times. He was like, hey, you know what? This forgiveness thing, it's a big deal, but I've already done it three times. You know, I'm going to go up to seven times. It's going to be a big deal. And then Jesus says, no, 77 times. You just keep going.
Right.
Untamed mercy. Even Peter here, he thought he had this commandments versus the cross thing figured out. He was like, okay, well, we've got to have our commandments. And, you know, if they break a bunch of them, then we're, you know, we'll forgive them a little bit. But if they break a lot of them, then it's over. And Jesus is like, Peter, no, you just keep forgiving. You just keep forgiving.
A, you can never go too far. B, if I'm going to get busted, it is not going to be by a guy like that.
I'm not sure what the latter part of that quote has to do with
right,
this.
But you can never go too far.
But you can never go too far. Right. That's right. That's why we say Jude 2 is huge. Mercy, peace, and love be yours.
In abundance.
In abundance.
Right?
All right, let's jump into a listener question. Is that okay with you, Dave?
I got a question.
All right, question today from Victoria. God give those sent to hell a chance to redeem themselves? Here's an example. If I can turn the page. An atheist of the age of 18 dies in a car accident and thus is sent to hell. They aren't a child, but far from developing a developed adult either. Why is it fair that another person can go 50 years as an atheist, become a Christian at 51, and go to heaven when they die? Considering that the 18-year-old does not have a lot of life experience, it is possible that they could have changed their ways, given they had the chance to live longer.
Excuse me.
What gives?
Once someone is sent to hell, they're there forever.
Right.
She was asking, you know, is there a chance that they're going to get another chance? Yeah. I mean, scripture says that people are destined to die once, and after that, face judgment, right? So there is only one death, and there's only one judgment. Additionally, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us that people who don't believe in God or don't believe in Jesus, quote, will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might.
Right.
Note that it says everlasting. Okay, this is going to be, it will continue forever. Now, to put this in the context of our discussion about mercy, God's willing to forgive anyone and everyone. But if they choose to reject that forgiveness, then the only option left is being punished for the things that they did wrong. Right? If my child hits his brother and I say, okay, your choice is to go to timeout or to accept my forgiveness. And he says, you know what? Forget your forgiveness. The only other alternative is to go to timeout.
Right.
Right. God's given us this choice. You can accept his forgiveness or you can be punished for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will go to hell. Now, why is it fair that someone at 18 is sent to hell while someone who's 51 may accept Christ at the last minute? Acts chapter 17, verse 26 and 27 actually puts it this way.
From one man he made every nation of the human race to inhabit the entire earth, determining their set times and the fixed limits of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope around for him and find him.
Okay, think about what that says for just a minute. God made the whole earth, right? He determined. It says he determined. God decided the times and places that people would live. In other words, he put you and the 18-year-old and the 51-year-old in the exact times and places that would, what does scripture say? That they would search for God.
Yes.
In other words, God knows what circumstances, what times, what places that would cause people to search for him, and that is exactly where he puts them. Therefore, we can be confident that the 18-year-old, though their years and intellect are limited, they've had as much of an opportunity as needed to understand and turn to God.
Right.
I can't say whether the opportunities are equal, but I can say that God is fair. And he gives all humans times and places that would lead them to him.
Amen.
And so they've all had equal opportunities. Not equal opportunities, but they have all had fair opportunities that would be most likely to lead each person in their own will to God. And God puts them in those circumstances. So, that's really all there is to say about that. I mean, God is a fair God. He's a just God. And he does judge people according to what their capacity is.
Right.
So if you have someone who's mentally ill, or if you have a child who's young, he does not judge them to the same standards as someone who is a emotionally and mentally mature 51-year-old.
Right.
Would you say that God really judges what's in the heart rather than, I mean, because if we lose our senses, or you know, if we become mentally ill and not able to control ourselves, that we aren't in control of that.
Well, that depends what you mean by heart. If you mean by the American vernacular for heart, meaning our feelings, then no. Heart back then was a symbol for your thoughts, your will, and your emotions altogether. Mm-hmm. Even so, that's why Hebrews says that the word of God judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
Gotcha.
Because they thought the heart was where your thoughts existed, mm-hmm, and where your attitudes existed. So in that sense, yes, God judges the heart. He will judge our thoughts, our attitudes, our decisions, and our emotions. And if those all line up, desiring forgiveness from God, we will experience forgiveness from God. That's the answer to the listener question.
I got a question.
All right. About untamed mercy.
Back to the mercy. Mm-hmm. Back to the mercy. This is big because we want to know, okay, God wants to forgive the 18-year-old.
Right.
God wants to forgive that 51-year-old. God wants to forgive the people who are mentally limited. God wants to forgive all of us, and it's our job as a church to be willing to push that forgiveness and give it ourselves. Whatever mercy God has, which is great and amazing and overwhelming, we should have that type of forgiveness for each other.
Right. We should. You know what? The thing is that God's grace and mercy is way bigger than we could ever do ourselves. Right. But that should not ever keep us from trying to strive to get to that.
Right, right. Okay. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance from Jude 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now that phrase, mercy and peace, it was actually a common Jewish greeting.
Oh, yeah.
They would be like, hey, mercy and peace. Yeah. But the writer of this adds the word love. He's like, hey, mercy, peace, and love be yours. And then he adds, in abundance.
Right?
Right? It's not enough just to have mercy and peace. You must have mercy and peace and love, and you have to have it a lot.
Right.
You have to have a lot of. The Greek word for abundance literally means to be increased to the fullest measure. It'd be fair to translate it more.
Just more.
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 Mercy, peace, and love be yours. More.
More, please.
More of it.
Right.
How much mercy do we need? More.
More.
How much peace and love do we need?
More.
More. Abundance, the fullest measure. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think everyone listening, you should memorize this verse, right? Abundance, overflowing, profuse. So much that people think, when they think that you're not being hard enough on people's sin because people are wronging each other or they're wronging you and you're still forgiving them, they were like, you need to be harder on them. And we're going to say, no, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy, peace, and love be theirs in abundance.
Amen.
Look, I don't care what your, if you're listening to this, I don't care and what your former life was like. I don't care what your life was like right at this moment as you're listening to this. If you're doing something evil right now, we still want you to come to Revolution Church and find forgiveness from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why we exist. Not to be church of the commandments, but to be church of the cross.
Right.
Now, do people need to live right?
Man. Absolutely.
Man, God wants us to become more like Him, and you know that God wants you to become more like Him. But first, we want to bring you through this process of forgiveness. God loves you. We love you. We want you to be forgiven. We don't want you to feel the guilt and shame. Man, Dave, you ever done dumb stuff?
Whatever. As if, yes.
I've done some really dumb stuff. Every single person in our church has done dumb stuff. But let me tell you, we want to be like a lion stalking its prey when mm-hmm. it comes to forgiveness. I want to be the lion. I want you to be my prey. And I want you to be a lion, and I want to be your prey.
Right.
Right. That we are untamed, we are wild, and we are passionate when it comes to forgiving each other.
Amen.
I found out you did something bad. I'm here to forgive you. I'm here to restore you. I'm here to help you know God better again. Not to just shove more commandments down your throat, but to remind you that God loves you. Right?
Right.
Matthew 18, not seven times, but 77 times. You just keep forgiving.
Hey, I'd lose count before I even got to 77, so I'd have to keep starting over.
Yeah. All right, we're from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas. Truthrevolution.tv is our radio website.
That's right.
And revo.church is our church website. Come on out. We have services at 9, 11, and then 5 p.m. All three services are the same content.
There you go.
So you should come on out.
Yep. And on the website, you can get past shows, you can get truth shots, you can ask questions, you can even donate to help keep us on the air.
That's right. A number of you listeners donate, and I appreciate you so much. You actually keep this show going. And hey, guys, next week on Truth Revolution, we're having the author of this book, The Grand Canyon Monument to an Ancient Earth,
His name's Greg Davison. We're having him on the show. It's an amazing book about the Grand Canyon and how it shows the earth is old and just lots of beautiful stuff.
Got lots of pictures.
Great stuff. All right. Millions of years coming next week. Truthrevolution.tv.